It's here and now, and you might be familiar with Joseph Heller's Catch-22 or the 1970 movie that was made of the novel. It's the satirical look at war set during World War II, but it was required reading in the Vietnam era. Yossarian is the fighter pilot who desperately wants to be certified insane so he can stop flying. But there's a catch. Here's the pivotal scene. Jack Gilford plays the doctor. Alan Arkin starts it off as Yossarian.
Okay, let me see if I got this straight. In order to be grounded, I've got to be crazy. And I must be crazy to keep flying. But if I ask to be grounded, that means I'm not crazy anymore and I have to keep flying.
You've got it. That's Catch-22.
Woo! What a diagnosis, Catch-22. But before he found that satirical, brilliant voice, Joseph Heller wrote short stories, and The Strand magazine has dug up a gem. Almost Like Christmas has most likely never been published. Strand managing editor Andrew Gooley found the story in the library at Brandeis University. He joins us on the line. And Andrew, you've been something of a miner sifting through a lot of collections for gems. Tell us how The Strand magazine works.
We've been in publication since 1999, and we've published a lot of well-known contemporary authors like Michael Connelly, R.L. Stein, John Mortimer. But over the past 4 years, we've expanded to publish unpublished works by literary legends. So in the past 4 years, we've published Agatha Christie, Mark Twain, James M. Cain, Dashiell Hammett, Robert Louis Stevenson. And basically what I've done is I'll go to research libraries, pay researchers to look in hidden folders, look at archives of authors. And I've been very lucky in that I've managed to find several unpublished gems.
What was it like to come across this one, Almost Like Christmas?
Well, a lot of times you'll see that some works have not been published because they were of poor quality. We have a policy in that if we publish anything, we'll make sure to publish something that will honor the memory of the authors.
Oh, hold up a second. I was going to ask you about that, because obviously Joseph Heller is dead. You know, there's no way to ask him. Do you worry at all that you might think that it's publishable quality, but maybe he didn't?
Well, I'm a bit of a writer myself, so to me, anything that I'm ashamed of, I'll burn or throw away. So I think that if an author has not destroyed their work, that there's something in back of their mind that's thinking, you know, maybe I want to see this published in the future.
Well, so there it is in a collection of his papers. I'm presuming you were reading other short stories of his as well. Why did Almost Like Christmas jump out?
In essence, you almost felt that it carried a bit of the same theme of Catch-22. The theme of Catch-22 was how heartless a bureaucracy was, and how heartless and how at times nonsensical a bureaucracy could be. And what I found was incredible about Almost Like Christmas was it sort of probed the psychology of the nonsense, the cruelty of a mob. And to me, those two themes really resonated.
Yeah. Well, let's set up the story, and we'll hear just a little of it. It centers around Carter, a school teacher in a small town. And, of course, we find this, we have to tease this out. Heller has us jump right into the story right in the beginning of it, and then along the way you kind of figure out what's going on. But Carter is a school teacher in a small southern town. His students are involved in a violent altercation. Wilson, a white student, is stabbed and implicates Jess Calgary, a black student. And Carter is tasked with going and bringing Calgary in. And the whole town, which sounds like a town that has, that time has passed by and maybe has not much else to latch onto, the entire town seems to be just like a tuning fork with anticipation of what's going to happen. Would you read the scene, set up this scene for us in which we hear a little bit about why it's titled Almost Like Christmas?
Well, this is a scene where Carter is given the task of bringing the youth back to town so that he could be lynched. And he's speaking to Freddie, and he's saying, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? He's asking Freddie. Freddie shook his head. There's going to be trouble, Mr. Carter. It's like a holiday, a real holiday, and they're going to have it no matter who pays for it. It's almost like Christmas, the way everyone's walking around in a fever of excitement. Don't let their anger fool you. It's a chance to feel important, and they're going to use it. Why, Freddie? Why? That's hard to say, Mr. Carter. Maybe they just want to be respectable. Everybody wants to be respectable. and joining a mob is the easiest way.
You know, you said there was anticipation of a lynching, and I'm trying to remember, you've shared the story with me, I'm trying to remember if I saw the word lynching. Is that just something that we guess is about to happen? Because, or do you, does he actually say that?
It isn't explicitly referred to, but it's understood. And since the Strand publishes mystery stories, to me this is the sort of classic suspense tale in that there's silence and you're waiting to hear the gunshot or the act of violence that you fully expect to have occur.
What does this tell us about Joseph Heller? Because it doesn't have the sardonic humor that Catch-22 would come to have, some of his later writing. What does this tell us about him? Had he spent time in the South? Why is he writing this?
When he was training in the military, he did spend some time in South Carolina. From speaking to his biographer and doing some research myself, I don't think he spent time in a town similar to the town in the story. I can probably tell you that there's an attitude of despair and almost like Christmas. And Catch-22, which was written later, rather than despair, there's a sort of a sardonic laughter at the ridiculousness of the human condition.
And he would have been very much alive and aware when blacks were lynched and shot at will.
Exactly. And Heller was a sort of a cynical man, a very humane man. But from reading a lot of his interviews, he said that the only way he could cloak his cynicism without seeming very depressive was to try to imbue his work with humor, which he did in Catch-22, which he did in Good as Gold, which he did in Something Happened.
Yeah. Now we have the short story. And by the way, we can't post it, and people can't read it anywhere for the next few weeks, but in the Strand magazine, because that's part of how you're trying to keep this magazine alive at a time when so many are folding. The Strand, as you said, a mystery magazine revived in 1999. Is that part of why you are going around and doing this gold digging, trying to keep this magazine afloat?
Well, the magazine has been doing very well, and even during the recession, we've seen a lot of growth. I would say that trying to find these unpublished gems has been something very personal to me, because I was the type of kid who, when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, I would dream of meeting these great authors. I would have all sorts of visions in my mind of having lunch with Dostoevsky or Robert Louis Stevenson. And to publish an unpublished essay by Robert Louis Stevenson was a great highlight of my career. To publish a novella by Graham Greene, to me, these are things that are very personal and that are a labor of love for me. It's helped promote the magazine, and I'm very happy with that. But even if there was no material gain, this would be something that I would still be doing.
That's Andrew Gooley, managing editor of The Strand magazine. They're publishing Joseph Heller's previously unpublished short story, Almost Like Christmas, which Andrew discovered in the library of Brandeis University. You can order The Strand magazine online. We will link you up at hereandnow.org. Andrew, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Robin.
So it turns out Catch-22, which Joseph Heller again coined to mean no-win situation, inspired half a dozen songs. This is the Jacksonville, Florida group Whole Wheat Bread. What do you think, Jeremy?
I don't know. I think it's sort of a catch-22 that we're even playing this song, Robin, because I'm sure that the people who did the other dozen songs are going to be angry about that. Anyway, from Here and Now, from NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.